This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Etopia Media Voting News. We're about to speak with Greg Jorgensen, who is the Senior Director of Business Development at Visual Point in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Etopia Media Voting News.
Thank you.
Tell us just a little bit about Visual Point before we talk about its Vote Point product. What kind of company is Visual Point?
Visual Point is a privately owned firm founded in 1998 by Pedro Perez, my business partner, and myself. We've been providing custom development services for a range of clients since that time. We've focused heavily on nonprofits, but we've also done work for government agencies as well. We've established a strong technical capability over the years, investing heavily in our infrastructure, and one of our products is VotePoint.
Okay, how did you end up getting into the electronic voting area?
Well, we have a client, which is the Club Managers Association of America, that holds a fairly large annual conference and has historically processed all their votes through Scantron ballots. And prior to that, I think they were doing it with other means as well. And they had difficulties several years in a row in terms of delays in getting the results tabulated, how to handle errors in terms of, people bubbling in things that weren't read correctly by the machine, that sort of thing. So they were really looking for a way to automate that process and sort of take the pain out of it that they were experiencing.
Okay. And were they already a client of yours, or they found you and asked you to develop this system?
They were a client of ours. We've been serving them for 4 or 5 years now, doing various custom development jobs for their website, and they asked us to give them a bid to produce an online voting system.
And when was that?
That was roughly 2 years ago.
Okay. And so you said, okay, we'll do it?
We did, basically. We did. There was some research involved, particularly because we are, as most companies are, we have insurance that covers errors and omissions and that sort of thing. And so there was some work that had to be done with our insurance carrier to make sure that this was something they were comfortable with us doing.
Okay.
And
what were their concerns?
Well, I think at the time, e-voting was a newer concept, and given the problems with the previous elections, they just wanted to make sure that they weren't taking on a liability that they weren't comfortable with. So they were wondering what sort of what technology we were using, what the risks were, that sort of thing.
Did you start from scratch, or did you sort of build on some of the products you already had?
We built on top of sort of a core layer of technology that we have, but that layer is common to virtually all of our products.
Okay, and what were the standards that you were, or the criteria that you were using in developing, essentially the system specifications for this voting system? What did you start with as the things that you had to include in it?
Well, what we started with, and I need to correct an earlier statement to say that it was online voting, because the first iteration of the system was to do electronic voting, but in the context of a booth environment.
Okay.
So within kiosks, if you will.
Right.
And so the requirement was, they wanted to have at least 6 machines set up on site at the conference with, behind poles and drapes.
Right.
These machines needed to communicate with each other and with potentially, some sort of master server that could aggregate the results.
Right.
Security obviously was a huge concern, so we needed to make sure that, the security mechanism that we employed was to have a voter code, unique voter codes that were generated by the computer.
Okay, before we talk about that, so the context in which you originally developed the system was not for people to vote at home or anywhere or from the office, but in fact to go to a polling place and vote there on locally area networked computers.
That is correct.
With the
vision and understanding that the next year they would likely employ an online voting scheme.
Right.
To augment.
Which would be essentially built on the on-location site system that you'd have already built.
Exactly.
Okay. So what were the issues that you dealt with in creating that on-site voting system? As far as I'm thinking about voting technologies, that doesn't seem to be around anywhere. They're all the machines are standalone machines, or do electronic touchscreens already work on the same kind of network principles that you were reinventing there?
Right. Yeah. I mean, those principles were sort of established in terms of needing the machines to be very fault tolerant.
Right.
Being concerned about, you know, what happens if a machine goes down, are we going to lose? If, let's say, they lose a hard drive on a machine.
Right. And those systems now, those touchscreens, work by giving the voters a smart card, right?
Some do. There's different approaches. Some work by, by a smart card, or you can even do RFID chips.
Right.
You could, but you could also allow the voter to type in a number.
Okay. And did you consider all those options, and what did you decide to go with?
We did. We decided to go not going with touchscreen simply because of budgetary concerns on their part, and
right,
the difference in cost of running those machines.
Right.
So what we came up with was a system where the keyboard was there. So they were voting with the keyboard and mouse, but it was very limited in terms of what they could do.
Right. They couldn't check their email or anything.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was they couldn't get out of the application.
Right. And in fact, then the selection of the voting choice would be done with a keyboard and mouse.
Exactly.
Okay. And essentially, click on boxes.
Click on boxes, and then the one point at which you need to give them the ability, two points where they have to have the ability to key in information, is when they go to put in their voter code.
Right.
Which could be done with, you know, barcoding or some other technology.
Right.
The second time is when you have write-in candidates.
Right.
And so at that point also they employ the keyboard.
Okay. So it wasn't touchscreen, it was essentially a normal computer in a set location, and the identification of the voter to the system was done with these codes.
Exactly.
Okay. And how and where did the voters get the codes?
The way that works is that the voters come to a sort of a preliminary registration desk for voting.
Right.
And they present their credentials. They would have already registered for the conference that coincides with this.
Right. And they have some sort of card identifying them that way.
Exactly. And so they would trade that for a voter access number.
Right.
That was random.
Right.
And so it was very important to them that there be this randomness to the votes that were being captured. So the members of the association did not want to go into the booth and take with them some identifying, you know, thing that they were given during registration.
Right. Well, this was to be an anonymous vote, right?
Exactly.
So that the system or the administrators wouldn't know how anyone voted. How was the connection between the card that they presented indicating that they were a registered voter, essentially, how was the link between that and their user code broken so that no one would know how they'd voted?
The way that was handled was that the numbers that were on the cards were randomly generated and just kind of held in a stack.
Oh, okay. And the poll workers, so to speak, would examine the credentials or the card and determine that the voter was entitled to vote.
Right.
And then hand them, I'm guessing here, a random number on a card that was face down, so they didn't see it.
They didn't see it, and the number was, I think we were doing 8 or 10-digit code, so it was long enough for it to be difficult to, even if they did see it.
Right.
You know, you have to really be making efforts to memorize it at that point.
Right. It wasn't. It could have, for example, been in a sealed envelope, and there had been a stack of these sealed envelopes.
Exactly. Yes, they could have.
But as it was, they didn't read it to them. They handed it to them, but you're saying they were honest and they didn't look at them and remember them and.
Exactly.
Check up on anybody.
They handed it to them. They were picking it at random from a stack.
Okay. And then the voter would go over to the computer with their code number, and how did the procedure proceed from there?
So at that point, they would go into the voting station, or the voting room, if you will, and as soon as the kiosk was open, they would go in, close the drape behind them, and the first screen they come to asked them to enter their voter code.
Right.
And so they put the number in, and then the system checks to make sure that number has not been previously used,
right,
and then it's a valid code.
Right.
And assuming those two things check out, they proceed through the voting process.
And now the system is primed to accept their vote, but it doesn't know who they are.
Exactly.
Okay. And then what kind of interface did you develop or range of interfaces to provide people with their choices?
The interface that was developed was a wizard-like interface, so it's a very simple next and back navigation scheme.
Right.
And the choices are presented in the case of candidates for an office. Images are associated with those people. So you have the name of the candidate, a brief description, and an image.
Okay, so you can do more than you can on a paper ballot.
Certainly.
Okay. How much can you do, or how much did you do, in terms of having links off the system or in the system to resumes, background, campaign promises, financial statements, videos
sure.
for the candidates?
They opted to keep it very, very limited.
Right.
So all those things are quite possible, but they chose to simply put the name and the position they were running for, and
okay.
That sort of thing.
But there was a photo of them?
There was a photo.
Okay. So, and then, again, how did the voter then make their choice?
So the voter made their choice by clicking on a checkbox next to the candidate that they preferred.
Right. Okay. And then was there an opportunity for them to change their vote? Did the system ask them to confirm that they were sure that that's what they wanted to do?
It did. The way that the process, the flow of the process, is that they would vote for candidates. There also can be bylaw issues to vote on.
Right.
Or amendments, that sort of thing.
Right.
So same idea there. And then once they've voted for everything on the ballot, they're presented with a summary screen at the end. And at that point, they have the ability to go back. And so the button on the left says, you know, back.
Right.
The button on the right says cast vote.
Right.
So they're presented with a summary of everything they voted for, and if they hit the cast vote button, they're now done.
Okay. Now, do they get some kind of receipt to show how or if they voted?
They do not.
Okay. Now, there's a big, we're talking here about associations and not governments so far, but there's been a big controversy in the last few years in the voting technology community about what are called voter-verified paper audit trails.
Right.
How do those concerns figure into what you've built?
Well, it's something that we did consider, and it would be very easy to implement, and it would be done in the form of adding printers into the kiosk.
Right.
So that the voter would be given a piece of paper upon completion. And additionally, you know, I think the other concern there is that the administrators of the vote want to have a paper record as well of what's happened.
Right.
And so there again, a printer at you know, the master station, if you will, the monitoring machine, could spit out a receipt.
The printer could spit out a paper copy of the voted ballot.
Yes.
But you haven't built that in yet.
We have not. There,
okay.
There simply hasn't been a demand in the association market that we're dealing with.
Okay. And how did this vote go that you did with the club?
It went very well.
How many people voted?
I want to say that it was around 1,000
okay.
years.
All right. Which years? 2003, 2004?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, no, actually, it'd be 04 and 05.
04, okay. And how satisfied was the association and the users?
I would say that they were very satisfied. We didn't really have any instances of people not understanding how to use the system or how to vote.
Right.
That was a concern, simply because the demographics of the association skew a little bit older.
Right.
And some people may not be as familiar with technology, but even those folks were able to navigate through the system. So it was a win, certainly for the members, and a bigger win for the staff of the association, simply because there was none of the counting and hours of, you know, trials and tribulations to get the totals.
Right. How long did it take to tabulate the totals?
It's virtually instantaneous.
Okay. Did you get more customers for this system, or how did you decide that you wanted to create a web version? Was that going to be for the original clients, or for new customers who might be coming along, or what?
That was for the original clients, and now we are offering it to other customers. I guess since the beginning they identified the desire to explore that. Weren't sure they wanted to get through the first year in this sort of kiosk mode,
right,
to verify and validate the system and get comfortable with the technology.
Right.
Once we went through the successful first round of voting in 2004, They then approached us and said, we'd like to enhance this by taking it to the web.
Okay, and what were the extra, what were the new challenges in webifying the system?
Well, in terms of webifying, one of the requirements was that we preserve a similarity with the interface that their members had already grown accustomed to.
Right.
So that was one not so difficult requirement to satisfy, but certainly one that was there.
Right.
The second thing becomes additional concerns related to security.
Right.
So there you're trying to make sure that you're not getting any sort of brute force hack attempts. So you have to go through extra steps to secure that. Obviously, you're going over HTTPS, so it's encrypted.
Right.
But beyond that, things need to be done to make sure that a given login and password you can't attempt it more than three times without a lockout.
How do you go about distributing? We talked about both the way you actually did it and some of the enhancements that might have been provided for the distribution of the passcodes in a on-location configuration. How did you arrange for the web distribution or the more widely disseminated distribution of the passcodes?
The way that we handled that was to set up an administrative interface for the staff of the association to... they would receive requests for voter codes from their members.
Online or by mail or fax or how?
Online. I believe all of them were done online.
Okay.
So the member would come to the website, the public website, and they would have to authenticate, and they have credentials. Members have credentials for this.
Right. They're essentially already registered with the association.
Exactly.
Okay.
So they authenticate with those credentials, and then they click a link or something of that nature to say, I'm requesting a voter code.
Right.
At that point, the administrator at the association is notified that someone is requesting a code, and they check, for them the requirement was a bit deeper because they needed to verify that the person was in good standing with the association.
Paid their dues, whatever.
Paid their dues, exactly, yeah. And that they had not already voted. And given those two things having been met, the administrator would issue an email to that member with a password or with a voter code included.
Now, was that checking of credentials done? It sounds like it was done with a human intervention rather than by a computer. Is that right?
It was. It was this year, and I think that they're going to request to have that tied in. But again, it was sort of that desire to take things incrementally.
Okay, because presumably to see whether a person is a member in good standing, whether their dues are paid or whatever, the humans are going to check a computerized database in any event.
Absolutely. It's certainly something that could have been automated, and I think it was just something that brought them comfort to participate in that as a with a human hand.
Okay. Now, is the web version operational yet?
It is.
And who's using it?
The web version was used again by the Club Managers Association in their 2005 election cycle, and what they did is they used it as in replacement of write-in. Ballots.
Right.
And so they allowed their members to vote online prior to conference. And then at some point, I think a day or two before, I don't recall exactly, they turned off the ability to do online voting.
Right.
Thereby limiting it to only those people that, the next set of votes would have to occur on-site at conference.
And in fact, they had an integrated database that essentially crossed everyone who voted on the web off.
Exactly.
And said the rest of the people can vote here at the conference.
Exactly.
And you used the same kiosk-based system that you'd previously used.
Yes. There were certainly changes that had to be made to the system to transform it from a Win32 application to a web-based application.
Right.
But the guts of it, if you will, were very similar.
All right. And then did you pre-tabulate the online results or wait until you'd collected the votes from the kiosks?
They waited until the votes were collected from the kiosks. And the system was written in such a way that the votes from the online
portion.
The online portion were combined with those that occurred on site. So the format of the electronic record of the vote, the ballot, if you will, was the same across both, so they could be tabulated together.
Okay, and that was all done after the polls closed on the on-site location.
Exactly.
And again, it took virtually no time at all, didn't it, to do the tabulation?
Right. Again, instantaneous.
Okay. So what's the current positioning of this product? Are you marketing it to new associations?
We are now in the process, you know, having gone through two election cycles of taking this to market and bringing it to the attention of other associations, and I'm sure we'll be adding clients here in the near future.
Okay. Now, do you envision moving this into the governmental sector or not?
It is not something that we currently have on our roadmap, but I certainly would not rule that out. Our firm, you know, does do quite a bit of work for the federal government.
Right.
And we've also done work for state agencies as well. So, you know, that's something that we would consider, but I think what we want to do is first focus on the association market and just do that well.
Okay. Anything else you think people ought to know about VotePoint or VisualPoint?
No, just I'd say that we're located in Washington, D.C.
How can people get in touch with you by phone or by email?
Email, the best way is to shoot a note to info@visualpoint.com.
Okay.
And by phone, our number is area code 202-332-2545.
All right, and there'll be a link to the VotePoint part of the VisualPoint website right below this interview link.
Very good.
Thank you very much for talking to us today, and continued success with your efforts.
Very good. Thanks for your time.
All right, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.